Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 24th of August, 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Background to that news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. Tonight, electricity price is frozen for 6 months. Police time waster gets a £3,000 bill. Ukraine Independence Day is celebrated on the Isle of Man. Times are tough. Can the MGP and TT survive? And how much water does the Isle of Man use? Answer, 29 million litres a day.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Faster My, Simon Richardson.
Faster My. Local racer Michael Evans was airlifted to Nobles Hospital during this afternoon's Manx Grand Prix practice session with suspected elbow injuries. The Manx rider was competing in the Classic Superbikes qualifiers when he came off his machine at Sulby Bridge on the opening lap of the session. He was said to be conscious and talking. Meanwhile, roads will close again at 6 p.m. for a 6:20 start to this evening's session and will reopen no later than 9 o'clock tonight. Police have arrested a man for going on closed roads during this afternoon's Manx Grand Prix practice session. It happened near Balaf Bridge. A Port St Mary man who threatened to set his house alight because of a grudge with police has been ordered to pay £3,000 in compensation. 30-year-old Aidan Christopher Bainton of Victoria Road was convicted of wasting police time following a trial at Douglas Courthouse in July. He was sentenced yesterday. On to the international headlines. And police have arrested who they believe the intended target of a masked gunman following the fatal shooting of a 9-year-old girl in Liverpool. Officers are questioning the 35-year-old about Olivia Pratt Corbell's murder on Monday night. Meanwhile, there have been police raids in parts of Liverpool connected to organised crime. A man's been arrested on suspicion of murder after 22-year-old Sam Rimmer was shot dead in Toxteth last Tuesday. Those are the news headlines. More news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Simon, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. No wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is smooth or slight. Three-day weather tonight. Dry with some late hazy sunshine, a moderate southwesterly. After dark, going to be dry with some clear patches and a moderate south-southwesterly and down to 11 Celsius. For Thursday, tomorrow, Jadane, nice day, dry, bright with sunny intervals, up to 19 in a light to moderate, mainly westerly, turning southwesterly. Overnight minimum 13 into Jahenya, Friday, cloudy with showers to start, then dry with sunny spells and a light south-southwesterly, turning northwesterly as the day goes on. Daytime maximum 18 degrees. Sunsets at 29 minutes past 8 tonight. The tide turned at 4 minutes to 5. High water tonight at a minute past 11. Low water is at 19 minutes to 6 tomorrow morning. Sunrise 13 minutes past 6. And the morning high tide 27 minutes to midday.
Manx Glass and Glazing will be open as normal throughout the Manx Grand Prix. Come and see the team at Snugbury Trading Estate or call 674 573.
Electricity prices on the Isle of Man are being capped for 6 months. The Council of Ministers has instructed Manx Utilities to freeze the cost to all customers at 22 pence per unit till the 31st of March 2023. Subject to Tynwald approval, it'll be funded by a £26 million government loan. Treasury Minister Dr. Allinson's been telling Gamie Griffiths from Manx Radio News all about it.
At a time of global uncertainty and conflict, it's really important the government instill some certainty and security. And so the Isle of Man government have looked at the various pressures that we've got. We knew that with the increasing price of gas that Manx Utilities would have to put up their prices, their electricity prices, by the order of 70 to 90% on the 1st of October. And so we work closely with them. We're introducing a price freeze for electricity for all customers on the Isle of Man, that's domestic and commercial customers, for the next 6 months. And also looking at a whole range of other ways we can try to provide both universal support to people, but also targeted support to those who are most affected by the inflationary pressures we've been seeing.
With the electricity cap, for a lot of people, that's going to be a relief, but it does nothing to combat the rising gas prices. Are you currently in discussions with Manx Gas to try and do something similar and cap gas prices?
No. I mean, in terms of the Isle of Man, we know that about half the people on the island heat their homes with gas, the other half heat their homes with oil. We've seen oil prices hit a peak and plateau and actually start coming down now. But everyone uses electricity, and the Isle of Man government, obviously, through Manx Utilities, have got the ability to freeze those prices for everyone on the island. So that's what we brought in. Obviously, the independent regulator, CURA, work quite closely with Manx Gas to make sure that any increases they bring in are moderate and also appropriate, and they'll continue that work. What we're doing is to try to instill that sense of certainty for people going into the winter that they can use electricity without having sudden, shocking price hikes of that form of energy, but also looking at how we can support people to reduce their overall energy uses and the cost of living.
A Port St Mary man who threatened to set his house alight because of a grudge with police has been ordered to pay £3,000 in compensation. Aidan Christopher Bainton of Victoria Road was convicted of wasting police time following a trial at Douglas Courthouse in July. Yesterday he was sentenced for the offence. Tessa Hawley was there.
The 30-year-old had called emergency services in the early hours of the 13th of June. When police officers arrived at his property, Bainton was threatening to set a petrol can on a windowsill on fire. Neighbouring properties had to be evacuated in the middle of the night, and a public order team, police negotiator and the fire service were also called to attend. Officers then spent more than 7 hours between 2:51 and 10 a.m. negotiating with him. Time High Bailiff Jane Hughes said could have been spent far better elsewhere. After Bainton was arrested, it was discovered that the petrol can had been empty. High Bailiff Hughes said Bainton's issue with the police stemmed from how an unrelated theft matter had been handled. It was your intoxication as well as your grudge against the police that led you to act as you did, she told him. His deliberate behaviour was said to have cost the Department of Home Affairs £3,000. Bainton has already spent the equivalent of a 20-week sentence on remand at the Isle of Man prison, with his advocate telling the court the last 10 weeks have given him significant time to think about his life choices. Imposing an 18-month probation order, High Bailiff Jane Hughes also ordered Bainton to pay £800 in prosecution costs.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's been revealed the Isle of Man uses 29 million litres of water a day on average. Recent heat waves, which triggered the hosepipe ban on the island, saw that figure surge to 40 million litres. Christian Jones.
In 2002, MHK at the time, Brenda Cannell, told Tynwald a report suggested the island's infrastructure was only able to sustain a population of 90,000 people. Anything over that figure would put the island in severe economic difficulty. A financial plan unveiled in July of this year highlighted the government's intention to grow the population to 100,000 by 2037. But can the island's reservoirs and water supply sustain such an increase, especially given the head of water at Manx Utilities says he doesn't believe building more reservoirs was the right way to go about fixing the Isle of Man's water resource situation? Gareth Patchett is the head of water within the MUA, who says climate effects could change everything.
What that report doesn't cover is the effect of climate change. So in the last 5 years, we've had three really dry years. And so that brings into question, do we have enough water for more people? Now, we have enough water for more people, but not if we keep having dry years, because obviously, if it gets drier and drier, that would become a problem. Now, we've had a look at what the effect 20,000 people would have had in the three dry years, and we would still have been all right, but we would have been nearer to the metal. And if that continues and the weather gets drier, then it would be a problem. So what we're doing at the moment is we're looking at things that we could do to make more water available for population growth, and it's a big subject.
Given the current economic climate across the world, can events like the TT and the Manx Grand Prix continue and survive? Canon John Caldwell and Sergeant Andy Reid from the Constabulary believe they can, as long as the passion of bike racing fans continues and the events remain affordable.
At the moment, big sporting events, let's put it into a bigger context. Big sporting events are subject to the vagaries of what's going on in the wider world, and the economic pressures of what's happening there. and likewise TT and Grand Prix face those same pressures. And I think we're seeing that this week, and we saw some of the pressures from TT and things like that. Events that are niche in their own way will probably survive a lot of it and come through it. But I think, you know, even listening to people at Wimbledon and some of the football stuff, it's, you know, they're all facing those sort of pressures.
I think as long as we've got motorbikes and people that love motorbikes and motorbike racing in particular, will always have
a TT. I think we can get a bit blasé about TT. Mm. We live here, it's TT again and it's great and everything else. Actually, from an outsider's point of view, you know, if you lived in some other part of the world, I don't think there's anything really quite like it that has what TT has. Deanne's got, in PR media speak, is this USP, isn't it? We've got this unique selling point of what it is. And I can only think of a couple of other places around the world, like Whanganui in New Zealand, where they do the cemetery races on Boxing Day. You know, that's a sort of go-to event, or, you know, perhaps Daytona or things like that. They're one, you know, the sort of thing you go to and have that experience. But they've got a long history behind them as well, and they've adapted and built the experience that goes along with it. And we've got a lot of that here that makes, and it makes TT work.
Trying to recreate something like the MGP and the TT anywhere else in the world from scratch, I just don't think can ever happen.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
At 19 minutes before 6, Bamacree departed Heysham at 2:45. She'll be into Douglas, into the harbour, about 6:30. Departing at 7:45 this evening for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30. The 02:15 departure from Heysham gets to Douglas at 6 tomorrow morning. High-speed craft Manannan left Douglas at 26 minutes to 4. She'll be alongside the Lynx Man at the Pierhead in Liverpool at about 6:15, departing there at 8:30 tonight, into Douglas at 11:30. Tomorrow morning's departures, Manannan leaves Douglas at 6 for Liverpool. Ben McCree departs at 8:45 for Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Further measures have been announced, hoping to support people with that rising cost of living on the Isle of Man. The Treasury Minister, Dr. Allinson, has unveiled more plans today, as Amy Griffiths reports.
Along with the capping of electricity prices this winter, Dr. Alex Allinson has also announced a cap on bus fares. From the 1st of November, the maximum for a single ticket on any route around the island will be £2. This will be in place initially for a trial period of 3 months. It's hoped the move will help people struggling to pay for higher petrol and diesel costs, as well as moving towards government's target of reducing carbon emissions. There's also going to be more cash for those at a higher risk of fuel and food poverty this winter. A second round of energy and family support payments has already been announced and will be handed out in October, which will give up to £300 to those receiving income-related and child benefits. Now there'll also be a third one in December, although how much they'll receive then will be decided nearer the time. Government says it'll continue to assess how it can support people who fall outside of these brackets, particularly the elderly, disabled and those on low incomes who aren't eligible for benefits, but continues to stress it can't help everyone.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes before 6, the French multinational Schneider Electric's exploring the possibility of a full takeover of the Cambridge-based software developer Aviva, sending shares in the London-listed group up and up. The French conglomerate said today it's looking into buying the remaining 40% of Aviva it doesn't already own. Shares in Aviva jumped 32% in early afternoon trading, valuing the FTSE 100 company's equity at almost £9 billion. Schneider's got a deadline of 4 o'clock, 4 weeks today, on Wednesday, September 21st, to make an offer for Aviva. Facebook's facing Judgment Day despite its reputation taking multiple hits over the years for everything from election misinformation and how it impacts teen mental health. Facebook always looked invincible. Until now. Its parent company, Meta's, stock has dropped more than 50% over the past 12 months, the New York Times reports, and it's not just the economic downturn that's to blame. Facebook's facing a perfect storm. Younger users are legging it away. Innovation stagnation, antitrust legislation's picking up, and the metaverse struggles to gain appeal. Facebook's also been hit hard by Apple's privacy update, so watch this space.
The Stock Market Report.
brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK markets closed slightly lower as new hawkish comments from the US Fed Reserve policymaker kept investors hesitant. The dollar gained as investors waited for a Friday speech by the Fed Reserve chairman. Brent oil climbed after Saudi Arabia suggested this week OPEC could consider cutting output in response to poor liquidity. And gold inched lower on a firmer dollar as investor focus shifted to the Jackson Hole Central Bankers event for more clues on rate hike plans. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 was down a fifth of a percent at 7,471. The DAX in Frankfurt up a quarter of a percent at 13,227. In New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials up almost half a percent at 33,056. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up just over 0.8 of a percent at 12,484. And the S&P 500 up over half a percent at 4,151. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is trading at $1, 17.9 cents, €1, 18.3 cents, and 19 South African rand, 97.4 cents. And finally, in commodities, gold's up a quarter of a percent at $1,751 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 0.7 of a percent at $99.32.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future for a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Ukraine's Independence Day will be marked on the Isle of Man later, 6 months since Russia invaded the country. A special prayer will be held for Ukrainians this evening at Promenade Methodist Church Hall on Douglas Prom. Millions of people have been displaced. The organiser, Yulia Sassini, says we mustn't forget what the war is actually doing to people in her country.
Things have not quietened down, and unfortunately you can only sustain so much tension in the news, which is understandable, but things are getting worse, and a lot of my family and friends are really badly affected. So I for myself can say that it hasn't been over yet. It actually wells me up when I think about it. I mean, feedback we received when we sent all the humanitarian aid we sent was the people were crying because they didn't realize that from so far abroad, they actually had somebody who supported them and who thought about even sending them a pair of socks, even sending a couple of toys for the kids. Some of the people literally have nothing. And being bombed every single day, they can't even keep what's being sent to them. So every little thing matters.
What kind of celebrations would be held on a normal day?
It would be a very jovial occasion. There will be a lot of people gathering in towns, cities and villages. There will be lots of music, traditional music and contemporary. And people will be celebrating, meeting friends, meeting family, having food. And in the end, there will be fireworks.
But this year, it's a different take on that.
Yes, of course. And at such a scale that people cannot really afford to be jolly as much. So this is our occasion for a little quiet moment of reflection. Because we, as a community that's been growing since Isle of Man has accepted so many refugees from Ukraine, we weren't able to do as much as we would probably want to for our country, for our friends, our families that are left behind. The only thing we can do is really pray. And thankfully, there are so many people who support us here. It's just wonderful that we can get together and say a quiet prayer. It will be said in Ukrainian and it will be said in English as well.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. It's a busy day out on the Snaefell Mountain Course with a double Manx Grand Prix session taking place today. The first session of today took place between 12:30pm and 4:30pm, with all the different classes getting some much-needed laps under their belt. James Hind once again set a blistering pace to top the lightweight class during the afternoon at 116.16 107 miles per hour, whilst Francesco Caringa set the best pace in the Junior MGP at 114.974 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Stefano Bonetti was quickest in the Classic Senior category at 107.873 miles an hour. Meanwhile, in the Classic Superbikes, Rob Hodgson continued a good start to this meeting with the top pace in the class of 123.471 miles per hour, and Stephen Smith went fastest of the senior MGP riders at 119.474 miles an hour. Roads around the TT course will close again at 6 p.m. tonight for the evening qualifying session. As it stands, the senior MGP and Classic Superbikes will get things underway from 6:20 p.m. before the lightweight, junior MGP and Classic Senior bikes are back out for the second time at 7:10 p.m. Roads around the course will reopen no later than 9 p.m. tonight. And in football, Jack McVay's well-converted second-half penalty was enough to see FC Isle of Man earn a 1-0 victory away against Padiham last night. Going into last night's clash at the Ruby Civil Arena, the Ravens were hoping to avenge a frustrating 2-1 loss away to high-flying Vauxhall Motors last weekend. The breakthrough came for the Ravens with 65 minutes gone when Furo Davies was brought down in the Padiham penalty area. Up stepped McVay for the resulting spot kick, and he coolly converted into the top right-hand corner of Matthew Hamnett's net, sending the Padiham keeper the wrong way in the process. The Island side move at least temporarily up to 9th in the NWCFL Premier Division standings with 9 points from their first 5 games. FC Isle of Man's next match will be away to Congleton Town on Saturday the 27th of August, kicking off at 3 p.m.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
The 25 past 5, Logan Air from Manchester, came in about 5 minutes ago, late at 16 minutes to 6. The 22-8 EasyJet inbound from Manchester is looking on time. Elsewhere, the 5-8 returning Liverpool patient transfer plane on time. The 8:05 Logan Air from London City on time. And the 9:25 EasyJet from London Gatwick is showing on time. Departing the 6:00 Logan Air patient transfer plane to Liverpool's 15 minutes late, out at 8:15. Then it's the 8:10 EasyJet back to Bristol. The 9:05 EasyJet to London Gatwick. Mona Street in Peel's closed till 10:00 tonight for a burst water main. Remember, cycling is prohibited on the mountain road, in case you were thinking about it. Temporary lights on King Edward Road, Onken, near the main A2 junction for drainage work. Temporary lights on Westmoreland Road, Douglas as well, for cable work. There's Fildraw Road is closed for resurfacing in Ballasalla. Temporary lights on the Bradder Road near the turn for Bradder Glen in Port Erin for sewer work. Also, temporary lights in Laxey on Minorca Hill near the Quarry Road turn for excavation work. Temporary lights in Lower Foxdale for wall maintenance work. And temporary lights on the Jervey Road in Ramsey near the Gary Ford turn off. And of course, Castle Street one way northbound in Castletown for building work. And roads closed tonight in 7 minutes' time.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside.
Laxey Churchwarden's calling on more people to visit the island's churches, even if it's just for a visit. Derek Osborne's been looking after the parish of London and Laxey for the past 20 years. He's been speaking to Lewis Foster.
The new curate is Alexander Di Chiaro, is the vicar of the benefice, the Eastern Mission Partnership, which is Onken, London and Laxey. Because Joe Dudley has just retired. And the way forward, I think, is that we're going to try and get other people involved with taking services. And what we're doing now is getting the visitor centre up and running so that people can go in, especially raining, they can sit and watch the video. It tells them all about Lon and Laxey, all about the mines and where they can go and see.
How important is that, do you think? We've been talking about it recently around Port Erin. People were saying there needs to be more information about the history of villages. In Laxey, where do you see that?
It's ours is quite good. We have professionally made videos done by proper actors. It's not a cheap and homemade job. It's a real proper job done properly with the help of Manx Heritage and everybody else who help us with these sort of things. But I think it should go much further forward. But of course, the church hiding amongst those trees, people don't know it's there. They don't know where they look. They say, well, where is the church? And you say, well, on those trees over there. Yeah, and it's only a few hundred yards away. And oh, is that where it is? Right. Yeah, we put a great big yellow sign up saying Visitor's Centre. But how many people read signs?
You'd like to see it sort of better advertised. I mean, it's not far from the tram stop as well, so...
It's right on the tram spot. Yeah. It's 50 yards from the tram station. But, of course, you never see it amongst those trees. Mm. You just don't look there. What we're trying to do is get... we put pamphlets into the hotels in Laxey, and I think some of the coach drivers are now learning it's there. So if they get stuck and it's lashing down with rain, they've got somewhere that they can go and sit for 10 minutes or 20 minutes and watch the video.
A Manx prospect's hoping the sport of shooting can receive further financial assistance to help competitors excel. Wes Reid represents the Isle of Man on the international stage in the sport, and he says costs to take part are running in to thousands of pounds.
It's been fairly easy but difficult at the same time, because getting there is quite a bit of a task, because it's quite expensive and that. And currently I'm funded by my parents, and my dad's putting in extra work, so he's doing overtime to be able to afford to get me across to the competitions.
What are the other sort of costs that come into the equation?
There's costs for entering tournaments, so you have to pay like a fee to get into them, and that can sometimes be up to about £100. And then obviously there's costs of equipment. I mean, we've just had me measured out for a new custom-made jacket and trousers, and that's came up to about €2,023, and that's coming all the way from Germany, so then that's going to be quite a while to wait. Obviously the rifle's about £3,500, and then obviously there's fuel, food, and then there's like other little bits.
Just how valuable would it be to have just that bit of financial assistance to help you out, to give you that opportunity to reach that goal in however many months and years to come?
It would just be really helpful. Like, there's no words to really describe it, because I desperately want to progress into this sport and get to the Commonwealth, the Olympics, and be like the first Manxman to hopefully get a gold and be stood up on the podium with the Manx and the British flag flying, and just make everyone proud on this island. But yeah, if we had some sponsorship, then that would make it so much easier, because then we could get away to some bigger competitions, not even in the UK, but in like Belgium, Croatia, France, and places like that. Then it would just be absolutely helpful.
That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Simon Richardson, producer Amy Griffiths. I'm Andy Wynn. Update is back tomorrow evening at 5:30.
WINT.